Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. We're already at freaking week 9. Week 9 recap here. MWC Connection is our little website. Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter. You know what it is. You're here. MWC Connection. As always, Jeremy Moss here hanging out with Matt Kennerly, who's laying the smackdown against the dummies from Fresno State.
Trying to. It's like fighting off the zombie horde and, you know, Dawn of the Dead or something like that.
That reminds me. I need to watch The Walking Dead after this. Yes, I'm sticking with it. So, do you watch The Walking Dead at all?
I do not. Okay. But I've heard the complaints, and all I can really think about is, you know, if people out there who are complaining about The Walking Dead for being excessively violent are kind of like the people who complain about LeBron James because he's too good at basketball or something like that. That's the entire point.
That is the point. Like, we'll talk about this for 10 seconds because you've never really seen the show too much. I watch it all regularly. It wasn't the violence part last week. It was pretty violent. I was just bored with the story from the first episode. I was more bored than, like, this is really stupid than it was for how the heads got bashed into, like, hamburger meat.
Yeah.
I was more of, where's the story? It's dumb. Move it along. I'll watch again because I still think it's going to be pretty good, but I was along the lines of story. Come on, what story? I know, whatever. It was just, I was a story guy, and it wasn't there the first week, but I'll keep hanging around. But let's use a better word of educate. Is that a nicer term to be nice to Fresno fans? To have them listen to the people who know what they're talking about more quickly than others?
Yes.
All right. We do have some more Jeff Tedford Fresno coaching talk, but it will not be 20 plus minutes. It'll be confined within the game recap, which you're at, Fresno versus Air Force. But we will start with one game prior. Donnell freaking Pumphrey, man.
Pretty good.
Larry David, pretty good. 40-13, Aztecs are steamroll the Aggies in Logan, might I add you, which is not always easiest thing to do. Pumphrey, really quick, 223, 32 carries. Did he even score a touchdown in this game?
He did not.
No, I was like, I'm double checking this. No, he was held out of the end zone. Some guy named Jawan Washington, never heard of him. Two touchdowns.
One of their talented freshmen, if I'm not mistaken. You know, when Pumphrey graduates this year and, you know, Rashad Penny kind of is the next man up, you know, Jawan Washington's going to be the guy, I think, who steps into the Rashad Penny role. But, you know, if this was like his first extended audition, it worked out better than I think he or anybody else out there in Aztec land could have hoped for.
Yeah, prior to this game, 19 carries and about 60 yards.
Yeah.
And he had a long of 64 third Friday night.
And, you know, I think this, we haven't really talked about it a lot, but I think this is a credit to the offensive line. Like, it's one thing to, you know, prop up one good runner. And, you know, obviously Donnell Pumphrey is within the conversation, among other things, for being in New York for the Heisman ceremony and everything like that, right?
Better be.
But can we give some props to the guys up front, too? Because I don't think we've talked about them or complimented them at all. And this is like a continual week after week after week thing. And when you consider that as a team, the Aztecs ran for 400 yards at 7 yards a carry.
Oh, jeez.
That's outstanding work.
Yeah. And this is a team as well. Like, yeah, Christian Chapman only threw 4 of 9 times for 14 yards. Kind of laughable because the numbers, a touchdown pass. His average is ridiculous, 1.6 yards per attempt. But it's funny, but it's not, because Utah State is a pretty good defense. And they knew Aztecs were going to run the ball. It didn't matter. They could have brought, say Aztecs go too wide. They could have brought 9 guys in the box, man coverage, wide receiver. Aztecs still could have got 5, 6, 7, 8 yards a carry.
Yep.
And if he's not, like, a lot of people, more people are coming into seeing Pumphrey to go to New York, he might not win. And then there's some talk about, oh, he's going to possibly break Ron Dane's record, which all-time rushing record that is. And I get the point where, oh, it's not as validated because more games, title game, bowl games count and stuff. But regardless, if you get that high, it's still a pretty big deal. He's number 6 right now, very close to number 5, but he's just 200 yards. Yeah. It's just amazing what he can do. And you're right, the offensive line, whether it's Washington or Rashard Penny, has been their primary backup. They just run and run and do what they want. And Like Utah State, they only had 5 tackles for losses, okay, a couple of sacks, but they still couldn't do anything to stop San Diego State. Aztecs got up. It was really the fourth quarter. They just grinded this game out. They're up 20-7 at halftime, so still within range. But the fourth quarter, they scored 17 points. And then also, Aggies had no response. Devontae Mays is back, but had only 8 carries, 19 yards. Utah State, Kent Myers, he never moved the ball, hit interception, and just... This is probably what we want to see more out of San Diego State the whole year, winning games like this.
Yeah, and I mean, when you consider like the, Utah State's not a bad team by any stretch. Like we saw the Aztecs, overwhelm UNLV earlier in the month, and we saw them, really put the clamps on Fresno State. But Utah State's a good team, right? And just the fact that they were really able to put the clamps on them, not only on the offensive side of the ball, really, run the ball right at them, but on the defensive side too, they really put it to Kent Myers too. He was under 50%. He was only sacked, I think, once or twice, but, he didn't find that many big plays through the passing game. He only, had 5 passes of more than 20 yards. But, I mean, on the whole, if you take those away, he was finding basically nothing through the air.
Yeah.
And this was another instance, too, where the Utah State running game disappeared against this San Diego State front. Because Myers is actually the team's leading rusher as well, which, depending on which team you are, may not necessarily be a death sentence. Yeah. But for Utah State, they just didn't have it on the running game. Devontae Mays had an extended appearance. He only had 8 carries for 19 yards. And, Tawny Lindsey only had 3 carries. And that's really, I think, a credit to this defense because they just kind of overwhelmed them. If you look at the drive chart especially, they put it away early after Utah State marched down for a touchdown. They went 7 plays, 70 yards on the first drive. But then, 3 and out. 3 and out, 3 and out, 4 plays, and another punt, 6 plays, 14 yards and a punt. And by that time, the game was basically over because San Diego State just kept scoring.
Yeah, you're up 17-7. Then they get a field goal to go up 20-7. But Utah State, they interception for a touchdown, given up. So this game wasn't really it wasn't really out of it. You could say it's basically over at 20-7 or even 23-7 after the two field goals San Diego State had, but you're still within 2 touchdowns and 2 extra points, essentially. 26-7. You're still not out of it, but it's far. But then they just, not that they gave up, but they kind of did. They have a bad play for the pick 6. They give up another touchdown. Then it's it's over. It's just kind of a slow grind. And then Aztecs are like, all right, we're tired of this, and we'll want to take it one step further and make sure they win profusely or win easily and not worry about it. Yeah, I mean, I
guess you got to give them credit, I think, for making stops because, San Diego State ended up kicking 4 field goals.
Yeah, there's that.
John Barron had, 2 were chip shots, 2 were from 40-plus yards.
So you're saying it could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse. But they weren't making that many stops in the backfield. They didn't force any turnovers, I don't believe. Or maybe they did. Am I looking at this?
No, there's only 2 turnovers, both on Utah State.
Oh, okay. That's
pick 6 and a fumble that led to a field goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, the defense, I think, may have, done its part, but the offense just kind of fell apart.
Okay, this is a funny tweet. I'm on the ESPN on the kind of the Aggies page. They have tweets and videos and articles. One of the tweets from Aggie 7 hours ago: Utah State ranks 19th nationally in pass defense. Well, they only allow 14 yards in this game, so that's got to help them quite a bit. But they're still 3-5, and they're probably not going to a bowl game.
They got an uphill climb from here, yeah.
Yeah, because really quick, they go to Wyoming, which we saw what they did. They're obviously good in and out Wyoming. They host New Mexico, which is good. They go to Nevada, which is probably their most winnable game. They go to BYU. They might finish 4-8.
That's rough.
Yeah, 4-8, yeah. And do you think, really quick, before we move on to your Fresno State game, I know some people are not happy with Matt Wells. I assume, are you in the neighborhood of him staying, or should he actually maybe be relieved of his duties?
No, I mean, if I were a Utah State fan, I would consider, think about this season kind of like Fresno State's 2014, for instance, where they lost a lot of significant NFL caliber talent, right? And, you know, obviously Kent Myers is going to be back next year, so he's going to be really integral to their success. I think what you want to see is just more of a revitalization along the offensive line, maybe, because I think that's, to me, been the biggest letdown. I expected them to be a little more of a steady offense, if not necessarily the most explosive offense in the conference. But, you know, like I said, you've got one of the better quarterbacks in, you know, in the conference coming back. You've got a defense that's, you know, had some growing pains, but there's, I think, a lot of young talent in that, especially in that front seven. I think the linebackers especially will benefit from this year of experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they can find a running back after Devontae Mays, because he's a senior, right?
I'll double check, but I think so.
But, you know, I'll just say this. If they can find a running back who can stay healthy.
That too.
And, you know, get 200 carries or something like that, be a little more balanced than they've been in a lot of weeks this year, I think they'll probably be fine.
Yeah, I think they'll balance. But
so I would urge Utah State fans to have patience.
Yeah, it's not. Because here's the thing, Utah State fans, remember, yes, Mays is a senior, just to double check. And Hunt, I think, is also a senior, so he's probably gone as well, DeJuan Hunt. DeJuan Hunt's back, so maybe he'll show something next year, him and Lindsey. But what I'm saying, Aggie fans, remember Brent Guy. Remember terrible head coach. Utah State used to be the New Mexico State of college football, where you were playing every year at Auburn, at Texas, at USC, at Oregon, at Nebraska, however many non-conference games you had, you were on the road and you weren't playing a home game until basically this time of year, middle of October sometimes. So it's not that bad. Yeah, you've seen worse, so don't be overly greedy. But if this happens again, you could look to it. But this year, not a chance.
And I mean, if you really look at, you know, their losses in conference play too, you know, they only lost to Air Force by one touchdown. You know, they were within, you know, 10 points or so of Boise State. They lost to Colorado State by a touchdown,
where they had a big lead as well, and, too. You know, they blew a big lead, too.
Yeah. And so, and of course, they took care of business at home against Fresno State. But even after the Aztecs run for 400 yards, they're still middle of the pack overall in, you know, run defense. So it was an off night, I think, all around. You know, obviously, San Diego State is a very good team. But there's still a lot to look forward to, at least from where I'm sitting.
Don't get too panicky, but let's just we'll keep an eye on it. But you're fine, Aggie fans. You should be. This year should have been expected a little bit because, like I said, this is probably the last time I'll say it. I said it forever. You lost four guys to the NFL at one position.
Yeah, and I know that's what that's like.
Very difficult to overcome. Next game, Air Force, Fresno State. Before we get to the game, should we do a quick coaching? Do we need a kudos of some sort, or can we get some backdated congratulations on this? What do you want? Well,
on what exactly?
For us being correct on other people finally coming around to saying, hey, maybe Jeff Tedford's not the guy, or shouldn't be the guy, but a guy.
And it only took him a week.
Here's the thing. I don't get, if the reports are out there, that's fine. That's different doing your job. That's reporting. So knowing people you contact with and connecting dots and actually talking to people. But people online, like guys from the Fresno Bee, saying, oh, he's a quarterback genius. He was at Cal winning however many games, bowl games per year. He coached Aaron Rodgers. But then a couple days ago, I'm like, hey, I chatted with you. I'm like, this looks familiar. Cal APR score is an issue for being low and health concerns. What do you know? We said that last week. And then like he could be a guy, but not the guy, which I think we're both fine with it to have him be an option, but not the option. And we discussed earlier today, the more quiet it is, the more it's going to be toward Tedford November 8th when that announcement's going to be made.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting any particular surprises. That's not going to try and stop me from telling every Fresno State fan that I know that it's not the best idea. But yeah, I mean, but what you could say in the meantime about this game, you know, even though they lost 31-21, they still put up a really inspired effort. I think from where I was sitting up in the press box, they, in a lot of respects, this was their best game of the year. And you're not going to get that impression just by looking at the box score. You know, I think that Chase and Virgil had a very good game despite the four interceptions, you know, because two of those were of the tip drill variety. And, you know, Air Force was able to turn those into both of those into points, I believe. You know, there were a couple of rough throws, but at the same time, what I wrote in my preview was that I wanted to see them take shots down the field. And that's exactly what they did more often than not. And it paid off, you know, in a lot of different ways. You know, both Jameer Jordan and Keyshawn Johnson went over 100 yards. They both had at least one 50-yard catch in the process. And, you know, I think that, you know, his role, I think, is unique because, one, the offensive line is still garbage. And I'm just going to put that out there because it's true. And it's garbage in the sense that, you know, there was, again, no running game. And
that
hurts, too.
Like, Virgil going 18-37, that's fine. But Air Force still has some decent guys in secondary. They can arrange a defense where either bring full-on pressure or drop eight guys and make Virgil try to find somebody open when it's 8-on-4, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame the Bulldogs for trying to stay balanced, but I mean, as a team, when it's 30 carries, 37 yards, Dontell James has had 19 carries for 24 yards, and his longest run was 6 yards. That's not on the running back. That's on an offensive line that, by traditional metrics, by the advanced metrics over at Football Study Hall, is one of the worst, if not the worst, in the country. And so, you know, people want to blame the quarterback because he's the most visible person out there. But if you watch the game, like, the offensive line just wasn't blocking anybody. Like, they do cut blocks just like the Falcons do. You know, the Falcons, that's what they make their name off of, right? Fresno State does the same thing a lot. And it just doesn't work. Like, you know, people cut block someone and then all of a sudden there's another defender right there to take down the running back at the line of scrimmage. That's basically what it's been like all year long. And, you know, on the flip side, I think that for most of the game, the defense held its own. Like, you know, Nate Rollmine didn't really find that many explosive plays in the running, in the passing game.
Well, he also came out at halftime, too. You know, he was replaced with Aaron Wortham, or Arian Wortham.
Yeah, but I was saying, like, in the first half when he was in there, like, you know, Jalen Robinette had, like, one big 30-yard catch. But on the game, he only had 3 catches for 54 yards. So they kept him in check. You know, the one touchdown that they scored through the air was more a result of missed tackles, which is kind of another one of those problems that's been showing up throughout the year. Kind of defensive breakdowns in that secondary. But, I mean, on the whole, they played the Air Force passing game really well. It just got problematic once they knocked Roman out of the game and Arian Wortham came in.
Yeah, he was at 100 yards, man, in only half a play.
That dude is fast. I mean, it just seemed like once he came in, you know, he came in and started keeping the ball himself on virtually every play. And he ended up as the team's leading rusher despite playing less than half.
And they're only 2 rushing touchdowns as well.
Yeah, and so they just didn't have an answer for him, and I think his presence, his speed really caught the defense off guard. And it didn't help that, you know, the offense basically disappeared in the second half. You know, if you look at their drive charts from halftime forward, you know, 3 plays in an interception, and then they had their one kind of sustained touchdown drive in the second half. And then a 3 and out, you know, an interception in Air Force territory. And then two turnovers on downs. And then, you know, Air Force basically just took off after that. If you look at their drive chart in the second half, field goal, touchdown, you know, 7 plays and a punt that took off 3.5 minutes anyway. Touchdown, turnover on downs at the goal line, and then a touchdown to kind of salt it away after it had basically been taken care of.
So let's switch the other Air Force real quick. What do you think about Wortham the rest of the way?
I mean, if I were an Air Force fan, I'd be encouraged by his ability to run the football because, you know, he was basically you know, came in and he was gashing the defense up front the same way that Shane Davern did a couple times. You know, Davern, I think, was mostly held down. He had a couple of long runs that were in the first half that were really nice on early downs. But, you know, 15 carries, 7 yards is skewed a little bit by the one or two big runs he had. Jacoby Owens was a little more consistent. But, I mean, as a runner running that run-heavy offense, I mean, just off of first impressions, it seems like he's a really good fit for that system.
So, with, like, your Air Force was losing at this point when he came in. Why? Is it just that speed he had? Because Romine's pretty good at moving the ball. Is he just have, like, a next-level speed that Fresno wasn't really expecting, I guess? Because it's not like they're preparing for him at all. It's just that he's just a different type of guy. It's like, whoa, who is this guy? And then it took him way too long to maybe or attempt to adjust.
It looked like it, yeah. I mean, Romine's not slow by any stretch of the imagination, but Werthmann just looked a lot faster. And in the second half especially, it seemed like the Falcons made more of a concerted effort to really pick up the tempo. And that didn't help either. And I think that if you look at their third down conversions, especially in the second half, there was rarely an instance where they put themselves in a bad situation on third down, especially late. You know, in the fourth quarter, it was, you know, third and one, Werthmann gets 2 yards. You know, third and one, Shane Davern gets a yard. You know, third and four, you know, Ronald Cleveland gets 20 yards and a first down. You know, those are the kinds of conversions that they needed to get late in the game, and they got them. And it was just kind of another one of those instances where in the fourth quarter, especially, the defense just basically wore down. I think I threw a stat out there at one point where I think Air Force had about 1/3 of their rushing yards on the game in the fourth quarter. And that's more or less kind of emblematic of how the season has gone for the Bulldogs, because if memory serves, they've given up more rushing yards in the fourth quarter than any other team in the country. And that's really kind of disheartening, but it is, I don't know what they're really going to do about it at this point.
Just try to finish it out. But Air Force now is a question, because Romine still has a year of eligibility left. I guess he could have, if he had a walking boot on, he could have returned if they needed him to. But I don't know what they're planning on doing the rest of the way, because if this guy looked as good as he played against Fresno, Wortham, I don't know what they're going to do. Who do they play next week? They're sitting at 5-3. And if he brings this type of offense, okay, that's right, Army, yeah. I don't know who they're going to start or play or whatever. It's on the road at Army, but interesting problem for him to have, because I'm wondering if there's any issue with Romine at all with ankles, like just rest it, don't play. But it is a big game versus Army, so they win, they get the Commander-in-Chief trophy this year. So we will.
Yeah, I mean, if I were an Air Force fan, I would probably be okay with
it. I may not need to. So I'm betting after this game, at the very least, they'll get him in action a bit more, even if once Romine is healthy. All right, let's take a quick timeout real quick before we get to the Saturday games. All right, you ready for... we had all Saturday afternoon and morning to wait for this game.
That was a good game.
I know CBS Sports Network's tricky in your area. Were able to glance at the outcome of how this game played out?
I was checking the Twitter feed.
You were. So what did you think of the game then? Because here's what... Oh, man. I was going to do something fun. Maybe I'll play it later. But what are your thoughts on the game from what you could kind of go through from secondhand action?
I think Wyoming won this game more than Boise State lost it, don't you?
Yeah, they both played. There were no huge errors in this game by either side. Like, Wyoming moved the ball well, Boise moved the ball well, they each responded to certain points in the game. This wasn't a game where, yeah, the safety is a weird thing at the end, but there was nothing in particular that's why this team won or that team won because of blown coverage or something fluky happened, like in Boise State losses in the past.
Should we mention the final score, by the way?
30-28. Wyoming wins.
I mean, because if you look at the... If you compare a lot of the numbers, they were just about even in a lot of ways. Like, the total yards were 489 for Wyoming and 487 for Boise. Which, and, you know, even though the Cowboys ended up running more plays than the Broncos did, you know, I think that's a testament to their big playability that they were able to kind of hang with it despite not being on the field for all that long. You know, Brett Rypien had 8 plays of more than 15 yards, and on the ground, you know, McNichols and Alex Mattison combined for 7 more of 10 plus yards on the ground. So they were able to find big plays against this defense, you know, in spite of the fact that they weren't on the field all that long, really. Like, I think their longest drive was, what, three minutes and 40 seconds? And their longest scoring drive was a little over 3 minutes. And when you compare that to what, you know, Wyoming was doing on their touchdown drives, you know, it was, you know, 6 plays, 75 yards, about 3 minutes. And then a field goal after that that went for, you know, 9 plays, 4.5 minutes. And then later in the game, you know, 10 play drive, 4.5 minutes. Touchdown drive, 4 minutes. So it's really kind of a contrast to styles. And that's what I think
it did.
Really,
like, I thought at one point this game, because Boise gets up and they score first. They actually go up 14-0. And I kind of thought, okay, this game's almost, had Wyoming lost this game by fewer than 2 points, or then I'm thinking they had one possession to blame. They're down 7-0. They drive down all the way down to the second goal at the 8, or excuse me, they get down to fourth and goal at the 1. And you have Brian Hill, one of the best running backs in the conference. Instead of kicking a chip shot field goal, they go for it. They get stuffed. Boise goes 99 yards, gets a touchdown, up 14-0. I kind of thought, because that's a 14-point swing, essentially. It could have been 7-7. Now you're down 2 scores. I kind of thought if it gets closer, I kind of thought at that point, Boise's just going to crush them, because it's hard to, that's pretty backbreaking to lose that 1 yard, and then your defense gives up 99 yards, and on only 5 plays, as well, one of those quick drives, as you mentioned. But again, give credit to Wyoming, where they came back, they're down 14. I was like, who cares? We'll come back in our own drive, and Josh Allen has a nice touchdown pass to Jacob Hollister, 14-7. They responded like Wyoming. Boise had a lead. They're up 21-17, 21-10, 21-17. Game, that's pretty much the game. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I kind of thought, okay, Boise's going to win, but Wyoming kept coming back, and got to victory. And there's a few people complaining about, because Wyoming had 0 penalties in this game, which is pretty rare. And so, and one play as well, some people, oh, and here's one play as well. What was it? I'm trying to figure out what this was. That was a punt. Sorry, I'm going back and forth. I'm thinking of 3 different things here. End of the half, Wyoming gets a field goal, 21-10. Boise has an interception. Because here's the thing. Brian Harsin or the OC, they drive me bonkers for Boise State. You have freaking Jeremy McNichols. Why are you throwing the ball so much? That was a problem in this game for me, because after it was 21-10, there's about 90, just over 90 seconds. It's a touchback. I get driving down the field, not giving up the half, but because Wyoming gets the ball. Here's the thing, too. Wyoming gets the ball at the half, so you may want to try to get a field goal or something. Interception. Wyoming goes down, scores 2 plays later. So instead of being 21-10 at the half, it's 21-17. Wyoming gets the ball. It's a huge 28-yard pass to another one to Hollister there for – or the one Hollister, yeah, second for Hollister, excuse me, to go up within 4 points. And then third quarter, punt, 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 punt. But fast forward to the end of the game, that safety play where I mentioned this in the Oregon State game as well in the second half for Boise State. You're out big, why are you throwing the ball in your first 5 possessions, essentially, first 4 possessions, and going 3 and out? That safety should never have happened. You're deep in your own end zone. Almost exact same time in the first half, there was actually 98 seconds left. You're at the 10-yard line. You're tied. You don't need to play for overtime, but run the ball a little bit.
Okay, so here's my counter-argument to that.
It's been a trend for me too long for them to not hand the ball off more than they should.
Okay, but here's the counter-argument, and I understand what you're saying. But, you know, especially when they needed to extend drives, you know, those situations, like those third down situations especially, were situations in which they needed to put the ball in Brett Rypien's hands. And if you look at, you know, they were only 2 of 8 on third down throughout the game, which is problematic. But if you look at the, you know, the situations that Rippon was put into, like there were a couple of manageable early third downs, but then, you know, in the second quarter, there was a third and 18 and he ended up getting sacked for a loss of 9. And then, you know, there was a third and 9 in the third quarter where he was able to get, you know, a 10-yard pass to McNichols in a first down. But I mean, other than that, you know, third and 5, third and, you know, third and 7, third and 11, you know, on average, they were had, you know, 7.5 yards to go to be able to extend
the drive.
I know, but
I'm talking about both of these plays were on first down. There's these two that led to 9 points, the end of the first half and then the safety. Those were both first down plays. So I get both sides, but I'm saying there's these two particular, which led to points. I know it's only two plays out of 60 or 80, whatever they played, but this is a trend going to, like I said, Oregon State game, playing Washington State, playing these teams, run the ball. You don't need to throw every time. And Brett Rippon played okay this game. He played amazing. He played okay. But there's times where handing the ball off is fine. Playing for overtime is fine. But they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. But at the same time, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. You have a deep, you know, receiver rotation. You know, Spurbeck and Cedric Wilson both had at least 80 yards. And, you know, Chaz Anderson had 3 catches for 50 yards as well. I get why you would want to throw the ball because, you know, they had situations where they needed to just trust their quarterback. And, you know, in some of those instances, he just wasn't able to get it done. So I guess in this particular instance,
well, okay, the first half went fine, but this end of the game, first down, run the ball. Like seeing a game winning safety is so rare, but I'm just thinking you're that close to end zone. Give yourself some more room in case you do turn it over, whether it's an interception or anything. It's not an easy score. And I don't know if it's because Wyoming outplayed them for a lot of this game in certain parts, especially the offensive line and then special teams play, which is still a freaking disaster for Boise State. There was one nearly another safety, I think it would have been on or maybe even a touchdown. A punt near the corner of the end zone. The Boise guy just tries to catch it. Can't. Luckily, it goes out of bounds like inside the one. And so that could have been a disaster there. They lose the ball and give it up for, I don't know how it turned out. I forget the way it would have turned out. But there's a lot of small things they didn't do well in this game. And Wyoming played like, yeah, they were 10 of 18 on third down. But it seemed like when they needed the play, they got to play what they needed to. And it came with Josh Allen, who's, more for me, becoming number one or probably the I'd still say Rippon is the best QB, but Josh Allen is right there next to him. I would say number two.
Well, I mean, he's definitely played his way into the conversation. And, you know, if you look at a lot of those similar third and long situations that, you know, Wyoming had, especially late in the game, like on, you know, third and 13, they get that touchdown to Tanner Gentry. And, you know, even beyond that, you know, the third and 8 for you know, first down late to take more time off the clock, you know, 10-yard pass to Gentry again on third and 8. So I guess I can kind of see what you mean, but I don't necessarily blame Boise for wanting to put the game in his quarterback's hands to get them in the field.
No, there's more than that. Like,
look
at the offensive line as well. Wyoming's front came after them pretty big. They had no hurries, but they sacked Rippon 3 times. 7 tackles for loss. They got after him, and that's what I'm thinking. Run the ball. When McNichols averaged 7, almost 8 yards a carry, man. 8 yards a carry. Give it to him once. Make it 2nd and 3. I don't know. Maybe I'm being overcritical, but there's two instances and prior games where throwing the ball was not the best scenario, and it came back to bite him in this game. It caught up with him.
Well, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, and also
won the game.
Well, I mean,
more than Boise State. Because they played to their strengths and they
should have.
And
also, you
got to
give a ton of credit to Cooper Roth. They're a freshman, true freshman kicker, cranking. I think it was his first 40-plus yard field goal all year, missing 5 prior. He went 2 for 2, both over 30 yards, one over 40 yards. And now Wyoming is in first place in the Mountain Division and in the driver's seat to go to the title game.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize. I'd like to take a moment to apologize to all the Wyoming fans out there for projecting them to be in last place this year.
I'll say this. I was a year early, so I'm not going to apologize for anything. I was on the bandwagon last year. Really quick, though, before we move on, beat the Mountain West, to make the Mountain West title game.
Who's they left on their schedule at this point?
I was looking at this earlier. They play San Diego State. They play, let's go in order real quick. I got it up right now. Next week, they host Utah State, which they should win, I think. Winnable. At UNLV, winnable the way they've been playing. They host San Diego State and then go to New Mexico.
It's going to be those last two games.
Yeah, for sure. Those two games. Because I think they can win these next two. And then hosting Aztecs, I don't think they'll do it. But they could still slip up once and be fine.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they would have to slip up twice in
order. Or some weird tiebreaker with multiple one-loss teams at the top.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if I read that Wikipedia page correctly, I think it comes down to their record against the team that finished.
Oh, I meant to look that up. Yeah, because somebody asked us online. I believe it. I know it's head to head. And then I think it's common opponents within the division, right? Yeah, it's complicated. Like, I don't think it'll go as far as down to computer rankings, but Boise's not out of it. Wyoming's not out of it, clear. They're obviously number one, but. So what do you think? Are they going to return to the title game? Or not return, are they going to make a title game?
Well, I mean, they got to, you know, I think beating New Mexico is probably more important than beating San Diego State. Because let's not forget, and we'll get to this in a little bit, you know, New Mexico's not
really quick,
far behind
them. Here's how the conference slate plays out. 4-0 Wyoming, 3-1 Boise, 3-1 New Mexico. And so Lobos have already lost to Boise. So basically, yeah, there could be a three-way tie if Wyoming loses. Because, yeah, a three-way tie at this point with one loss each, doesn't matter who Wyoming loses to, it's a three-way tie at the top, and they've all beaten each other.
Should be a good November, I think.
And then getting back to the group of five power rankings, so many undefeated teams lost this weekend, not just Boise State, but a lot of them. Because I was thinking, oh, Boise State, they could sneak in the top 10 if they pull this off. But all these teams lost over the weekend that were really good, like West Virginia lost. You had Louisville nearly lost. You had a couple teams. I'm trying to see who else lost. But yeah, Nebraska lost.
Nebraska lost.
There's a couple. There's, I think, three or four undefeated teams that fell. But right now, if we look at big picture, since we're talking Boise and Wyoming, did you happen to see the order I put after I fixed it, the order of teams for the group of five? Yeah, I mean,
I did not.
Yeah, I pulled up right now. I inadvertently focused on conference slate, so I had to go in and switch it because I made an error of saying Navy, who also lost this weekend. I had them as one loss, and Tulsa, but they have two losses. I was focusing on the conference play here. Let me pull it up. Basically, it's Western Michigan, obviously, the number one because they're undefeated. They're lucky to have a bye week this week because everybody's losing left and right. The Houston's pretty much out of it. They lost again. But there was, let me get my order here. I'm trying to vamp. I put Aztecs number two. Here's my order of teams. Undefeated Western Michigan, obviously. One loss San Diego State. One loss Boise State. One loss Western Michigan. Two loss Navy. Two loss Tulsa. Then I drop in two loss Wyoming. Two loss South Florida. Then one loss Troy.
I think if things break Boise's way and Wyoming stumbles down the stretch and the Broncos are able to make the championship game and they're able to beat San Diego State in the title game, I think that I would put Boise ahead of San Diego State still.
Okay.
I would switch to
my reasoning, because we mentioned this a few weeks ago when I first started this, schedule wise is why Aztecs number one, because they could actually make the title game.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you know, if San Diego State goes to the title game and, you know, let's say they face Wyoming, a two-loss Wyoming, you know, that's not going to look as great on the resume as, you know, if Boise gets back in there and
because
it's
Boise or Wyoming,
Broncos
or because of
way.
Actually who they played.
I think if you're an Aztecs fan right now, you're probably rooting against Wyoming. You're rooting against Wyoming, Western Michigan, and you're rooting for Boise. Yeah, so I would put on my, you know, Broncos hats in the next few weeks.
That'll be tough for some. That'll be tough for a couple.
Kind of see how things shake. I think Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're a San Diego State fan, I think you want Boise to claw their way back.
Like, it does hurt them for not playing a better opponent. So Aztecs basically beat Wyoming and hope they slip up once more. And then would you put a one loss? Let's just say it plays out that it's Western Michigan beats Toledo end of the year. They win the MAC 13-0. And then and the option is one loss San Diego State or one loss Boise State. Would there be any chance? Because we'll know when the playoff committee comes out on this week, their first rankings officially. Any chance a one loss Mountain West champ would be ahead of them?
I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know. Because, I mean, right now, Boise's ranked 24 in the polls. And San Diego State, depending on which poll you look at, I think they're both.
Where did Western Michigan 28? Come in? I haven't looked this week. Where are they at? Top 20?
If San Diego State basically runs the table and wins the conference championship, I would expect them to be right around
that's it
20, probably. Whether that's enough, because I figure, you know, maybe they gain a spot or two each passing week. But, you know, whether that's going to be enough to overcome Western Michigan, I think we'll have to depend on if those Broncos can slip up down the stretch. Which, you know, they've got Tuesday night action.
Ball State.
This week. So, Ball State. I think if you want to.
I think any loss is what they want to prefer. San Diego State fans. It doesn't matter to you. So, all right. So,
yeah, basically.
Next game, we have a couple of nightcaps. The next one is San Jose State and UNLV. Oh, I'm sorry, Rebels. I'm sorry. You.
What happened?
Rebel happened. I don't know. Let's get this out of the way because I sent you a message on Facebook. I was looking through the comments because I watched a little bit of this game. I had other stuff, so I kind of tuned in here and there. So I'm like, let's go read some apps. And I made a mistake of looking at the comment section. Let's see. I think there's about a dozen or so. 10 were to say fire Tony Sanchez, which it's pretty much up in the night to say get rid of your coach where you know it's a multi because like the one I laughed at the most, this is worse than Bobby Hauk. A step back from Bobby freaking Hauk.
Okay, settle down.
No, there's a name on there if you want. I can find the name if you like to call him out.
No. I'm just gonna call him
no fame for
internet
you.
Commenter because they're in year two of a full on rebuild. And there's going to be weeks like this where weird stuff happens. And I mean, it's not like the Rebels were blown out of this game. It was 30-24, first of all. Yeah, they did. And, you know, in a lot of respects, they really kept the Spartans in check. Like San Jose State was only 5 of 17 on third down, for instance. You know, they did manage to sack Kenny Potter 4 times, which is largely in keeping with what every other team has done so far this year. It's just, you know, I think they give up more big plays than they could afford to. Because if you look at the scoring, especially, you know, I'm trying to look at it, you know, Trey Hartley, his first touchdown catch was a 63-yarder. You know, and then his second one was a 29-yarder. So it's not like they were really grinding and scoring at the goal line or anything like that. They were finding big plays in the passing game.
Also, UNLV had to make a change at quarterback because Dalton's knee, again, injuries, also an issue. Johnny Stanton's knee will not be completely healed this season. He'll need off-season surgery. He's still hurting. Kurt Palahniuk's not known to throw the ball down the field. So when they're down 30-24, 96 yards, and I believe 0 timeouts, I want to say. No timeouts, less than 2 minutes. Palahniuk, who's not known for throwing the ball downfield or an amazing thrower, he played more than that, but that's a tough task for any quarterback to ask for. And it's just tough, and you lose Snead, didn't play well, so see who plays next week. Maybe Stanton will be healthy enough, but it's hard to come back. You have injuries. Come on, guys, relax.
And I mean, and it kind of like we were talking about with, I believe it was Utah State, you know, they held San Jose State field goals on 3 separate occasions. You know, one was to kind of open up the scoring early in the first quarter, but, you know, right around halftime and right around after halftime, you know, San Jose State put together a 13 play drive that took over 6 minutes off the clock. And while, you know, they may have, you know, exhausted them on the field, you know, they were able to keep them to 3 points as opposed to letting them get into the end zone. And I think that's a credit to the defense more than anything, because, you know, they were able to get into the backfield. They were able to, I'm trying to figure out how many tackles for losses that they had. Yeah. So I'm trying to look this up, you know, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. You, eight, correct. You, I've already
11 UNLV, tackles 11 for TFLs. Loss. If my math is right.
And four.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, they had like 8 or 9 pass breakups as well. So it's not as though they made it easy on the Spartans all game long. You know, obviously the quarterback issue may have, you know, bit them with, you know, Snead's, you know, ineffectiveness overall. And, you know, Palahniuk, I think we kind of know what he is at this point. You know, he can make some plays as a runner, which, you know, he had 44 yards and a touchdown, which is fine. But he's not the world's most accurate passer. And when you consider that, you know, again, it was basically Devontae Boyd exactly. and staff.
Again, more injuries, so
in the receiving game.
Him for his job, relax. And also, another injury, there's a reason Lexington Thomas, he had an ankle injury, came out after 5 plays. Or and 18 rushing yards. Yeah, high ankle sprain. So, yeah, you had Charles Williams had a big game, but he's your best rusher. Both those guys could have made a difference, but a lot of injuries on this UNLV team. And, yeah, San Jose State's not very good, but you're basically playing your third quarterback. You're down to, like you said, Boyd and others, and that's about it. And so it's and a quarterback who's not mm-hmm. known to throw the ball down the field. And so you did not get blown out in the game where you made that change at quarterback. You lost your starting running back. You got to Potter reasonably well. It's just a game where it's. You're missing a lot of guys. That's all I can say. You made a good effort. There's always stuff you could have, would have, should have had in this game. Holding to field goals, it's not to say this is a good thing. It was had they not allowed as many field goals, and maybe those field goals went to touchdowns instead. That's a big difference.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe it's disappointing to lose a game to a team like San Jose State that's, you know, obviously been struggling for most of the season. But it shouldn't be that disappointing. Let's put it that way.
Well, this is a game we mentioned that if we need a bowl game, it has to be this one. So they're probably not going bowling. But I think maybe let's just put this out there. Maybe we're not this year early, but year 3's year. They're probably more likely to head to bowl game than year 2 with Stanton. Or with, excuse me, not Stanton. I keep saying that. Sanchez, excuse me. Because they go to Wyoming, Boise, and Nevada. They might win one, maybe two of those. They're not winning all 3, so. They're off this week, so get a chance to see how Stanton can come back and be healthy. So the final game, which I did catch a few minutes on Periscope. Did you? So I did see a couple touchdowns on the Periscope feed for how long it lasted. So Wyoming, we got it from podcast on Twitter from
Nameless Internet Commenter for that, by the way.
I don't know. No, I didn't know if it came from him. I doubt it was him at the game, but I don't know. Since he's an LSU dude, I don't know. But the score, let's mention the score here. New Mexico 28, Hawaii 21. Hawaii, you're not going bowling this year because you need 7 wins. And Lobos, like you said before, they're actually in the race for the Mountain Division title if things can go their way.
And, you know, surprise, surprise, they did it with their running game. You know, it wasn't maybe quite as explosive as it's been in weeks past because, you know, they only averaged 5.9 yards per carry. only. And, you know, some of that is skewed by, you know, for instance, Tyrone Owens had a big 72-yard run. So if you remove that from the equation, like, what are they at? Like, you know, 39 carries and like 160 yards or something like that. So right around 4 yards a carry. And I think if you reframe it that way, you know, Hawaii's front 7 probably played a pretty good game in that regard. Maybe they just weren't able to find as many big plays on offense, you know, because Drew Brown was okay. You know, he had 16 of 28, 173 yards, you know, no touchdowns, no interceptions. And if you expected, the Warriors to be able to find big plays against the secondary, you would probably be a little bit disappointed because, you know, Brown only had three passes that gained more than 15 yards. And that might have been kind of the difference right there. It's just not being able to find enough big plays against the secondary. He's not
rushed for a little bit more than that. The running game for the other side of Hawaii wasn't that great. Yeah, St. Juice played okay, 77 yards. Again, he had one long on 23, so kind of take that out, 16 for like 45 or 50. They didn't run well, even though they had three ground touchdowns. The passing game, I thought Marcus Kemper had a big, he had a big game, 8 for 89, but I thought the passing game overall, from what we've seen, DeLobo's given up, would have been better for Hawaii. And then also, it's kind of a surprise to see Austin Apodaca play, because I think when we talked about the game and everything we were seeing and reading up until Saturday afternoon, that he was not going to play, but he played. And that could have made a little bit of difference, because he didn't throw amazingly well, 7 of 9 for 26 yards, but he presents the threat to throw the ball. Unlike, even though Lamar Jordan actually threw better outside the pick, Apodaca has a more downfield presence to, at least in New Mexico terms, I'll say, downfield throwing the ball. So that could have played a difference for the shaping the Hawaii defense a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing, too, that really stands out is, you know, Hawaii was just 2 of 13 on third downs. And it's not as though they were in, it's not as though they weren't in positions to succeed. Like, if you look at the average third down distance, New Mexico was actually the one who had faced longer third downs on average. You know, they were at 6.7 yards per play. Hawaii was at, 4.4 yards to go on their average third down. And, you know, most of it just came down to Drew Brown not getting it done. Because if you just run through their third downs, you know, St. Juice rush for no gain. Drew Brown, third and six, he gets a 4-yard pass to Marcus Kemp. You know, Drew Brown, 3-yard run on third and five. You know, sacked for a loss, sacked for a loss, incomplete pass, incomplete pass. That might have been the game right there. If they had been able to extend, plays, if they'd been able to extend drives, rather, maybe that gives them more opportunity to find those missing plays that are those missing big plays that they weren't able to find.
With there's the time always, it's again, new coach for Hawaii as well. It's not like they're expected to be, they are exceeding expectations, but stuff's going to happen. They're still learning. They're still learning to win as well, because they've been so down for so many years, but there's good stuff. Like, they had a defensive touchdown in this game to make it 28-21. Then the last play, the end of the game, they went up, what was it, a 13 extensive drive, get all the way down to the New Mexico 7-yard line, 4th and 1. They like to run the ball and get stuff. So they were in a position to tie this game late. And it just came up a little bit short. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that was going to be one of those things I pointed out. Well, no, because I think that's a credit to the New Mexico defense, because they had two really critical third downs on that last drive. And, Stephen Lakalaka, who you might have expected to be kind of their power back, third and one at the New Mexico 18, he gets stuffed for a loss of one. And then, on that kind of last gasp at the New Mexico 8, when they need, a first down to keep the drive alive and, have a goal to go situation.
Paul Harris,
third and two, stuffed. 1-yard gain.
So look at that drive. Maybe I need to look more, but some of the stuff is behind paywall. Not being able to watch this game hurts us. But Paul Harris only had one drive. Like, no St. Juiced on this final drive. One handoff to Paul Harris. It was all Lakalaka down the stretch. Everything. But when he did get the ball, when he was running the ball, it was short yardage, 4th and 2. We had a first attempt, but then 3rd and 1. Short yardage again. The 3rd and 2, short yardage. 4th and 1, short yardage. It was him the whole way. Outside of the 2 first down running plays, it was him on 3rd or 4th and less than 2 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Rolovich might hear that a little bit from the fans is, if you got the guy who's been the most successful all game long, why not stick with him down the stretch? But, I can't blame him for giving it to his big
that's
back
just his purpose.
Short yardage situations.
Fine,
it just didn't work out.
I thought that was curious. I'm looking through. I just see Lakalaka. And also, but here's the thing as well. Before that game, wait, I want to check one more thing. He had only 9 carries on the game. And so that drive, what was there? I need to pull it back up. What, 7 carries on that drive? So he was cold too. So I know he had a touchdown earlier in the game, a short touchdown run, but I don't know. I just want to double check just kind of for my own convenience here or curiosity really quick. He had a touchdown prior to this drive. He ran the ball. Drive chart. This is lovely stuff we're talking about here. He had, let's see, 1-6. Okay. Yeah. So 2/3 of his carries on the final drive.
He had 6.
Kind of peculiar. Odd, to say the least, because of the timing of and the, going back to total carry. So just a little look at for some reason. Just kind of see what, like, hey, what happened here, coach? Anything else you'd add about this game? I think we've done enough for reading and attempting to watch a Periscope to discuss this matchup.
Well, you know, once again, the Lobos are in the hunt for the Mountain Division. And, you know, credit to them for going on the road to Hawaii, where, you know, more often than not, the Warriors have been really tough. They're 2-2 on the island, but they tend to play teams pretty tough.
They host Nevada. Then they go to Utah State. They go to Colorado State, who I still don't know who the heck they are. The Rams. They're just my whatever team all year long because, yeah, I don't know what to make of them for the most part. They can't tackle. They learn to tackle. Nick Stevens is terrible. Nick Stevens is great. So that's my whatever team. Anything else we need to discuss? No more Fresno coaching talk because you know who it's going to be. I do want to bring up one thing before we wrap it up with that, just because
they so choose.
I was going to do an article on this. I may or may not still, but it's basically been a year in the making, because more than a year, because did you know who, people may not know this, but Jeff Tedford was quoted or asked for a quote when Jim Bartko was hired as the AD. There is Tedford family members working in the area as for the past.
Oh yeah, I heard that. He was hired. Yeah, one of his kids was hired like somewhere in the athletic department last week,
and he's with the scholarship fund, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, or fundraising. And then another one has been on the most recent staffs in college. What's Tedford? I think he's doing like medical sales in the area. But he's the one that's been doing it for about a year. And so you can connect the dots that this is mm-hmm. Bartko. Here's the thing too. This is his first ever big hire ever. First AD job, first big hire ever. So maybe he's, not to go deep in this again, but do you think he's playing it? I think he's playing it safe by going with the guy he knows, and that he knows the fan base likes the name. Well, I mean, the majority of the fan base, I'll say. You and a few others, hopefully your words are spreading the wisdom out there. But finally,
there are other people questioning it, and I'm glad to say that I am not alone. And I'm not just talking about other local media members; I'm talking about other Bulldogs fans who I've talked to, you know, on other, you know, other platforms, face to face. They understand what
you're
I'm getting.
You're also first.
And I think I may be starting to, you know, win over. Well, some
you and me
and
were
minds.
Both first.
Yeah, because I was also first. But yeah, so it's like, yeah, it is a safe hire, and that's, you know, people think that a safe hire is best for this program because apparently if we mess up again, we're going to be in the FCS within a decade. And it's like, no, probably not. You know, I have a variety of reasons, much of which I've written about or talked about elsewhere. So you're more than welcome to go look that up. And if you would like to talk Tedford with me, and so that can change your mind about the whole thing, you can find me on Twitter at @MattK_FS. But yeah, I'm still not necessarily the biggest fan of the impending hire, but there's really not much
hire
anybody else can do about
it. Negative thoughts. No Mike Martz. Because in the NFL, when he got the head coaching gig,
God.
It went downhill pretty
Let's
quick.
Not even talk about Mike Martz. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of Rams fans around here, you know, especially now that they come back to LA, but I'm pretty sure they remember what it was like to watch the Mike Martz Rams. And as a 49ers fan myself, I remember the GTO Sullivan year and how brutal and ugly and sad that was. And yeah, I would rather
okay, one last thing real quick. I went to George Takata,
167%.
He's the guy who first reported that Tedford to Fresno before the hiring was official. Uh-huh. There's a lot of been talk about Steve. What's his name? Mariucci. Sorry, space me for a second. I'm staring at his Twitter feed. Mooch, for those, you know, you're familiar with Mooch, right? Very. Dude, this is 3 days ago, but I'll bring it up now. Obviously, there's no reason for him to say ill will about it, but says no doubt Tefra would be a great choice for the Bulldogs. Do they need the backing of a decade old former pretty good head coach to stir the fire?
Well, considering they're going to hire a head coach that hasn't done
this is also
decade,
hilarious.
Sure,
never gonna happen.
That's
the following
the
tweet.
Validation for
Takata,
the move.
Medford Mariucci pairing would be excellent for the Bulldogs, in my honest opinion. Two Fresno guys with experience at every level and strong recruiters. Where did Mariucci coach college at recently? Oh, never mind. Oh my gosh! I'm going to delete all this because I apparently made a big mistake here. I'm gonna leave it in. You know why? Because we're not cutting this out. I'm awful. You know why? You know why I thought the name was terrible? I thought this is a nickname. I thought it was like put Moose, like Mariucci sometimes called Moose sometimes, why? Correct? This guy Steve Mushagina. I'm terrible. I should give up now, Steve Mushagin. But I'm not gonna give this up at all. I'm gonna leave this in to show I'm not very good at this thing. he's apparently the head coach of Ventura College, former it's NFL endearing. Assistant, D1 coordinator, and FCS coach, head coach right now. I apologize, folks. If you guys want to laugh at me and never listen again, I'm okay with it. There has been stuff with Steve Mariucci. Am I incorrect on that? Or is that something
thing is
that
like
I've heard?
So embarrassing. I'm not.
Numbness.
I don't even know at this point. I'm getting to the point where it was like, I'd rather take someone who doesn't have ties to university. I just want them to interview one person who's done something like this decade of relevance at the FBS level. That's all I'm asking.
Let's get out this train wreck because I just ruined the past 8 minutes of the show. So
yeah, that's literally every other candidate out there.
I apologize, everybody. I don't know what I was up the night. I was reading something weird. I was just like, oh, this is cool. This is interesting. And I suck. People know I'm not very good at this, apparently. But I'm the guy who can't pronounce. Yeah, 5 stars. Tell me how you feel about 5 stars. That's the show for tonight. So whatever. Let's get this over with. MWCConnection.com is their website. People are listening, so hopefully this doesn't detract our numbers because we've had a lot of you listening, and I want to appreciate all of that. Oh, one go. We are officially. There will be something on the website Monday morning. We are giving away ticket to Hawaii versus Boise State, which took a little bit of a step back, but not really. We'll be giving that away. There are some rules and conditions. You got to mention how to enter and all that stuff on the website, but we're giving those away. They will be will call for this game on November 10th, and we'll do some sort of randomizer for the winner, but to be entered to, I'm doing this on the fly here with you, Matt, so tell me if this is a good idea. Should we make them have to like retweet us or something or follow us on Facebook to be in the running. So let's do this. It'll be more specific in the post, but like our Facebook page, Mountain West Connection.
That
follow
is
us on Twitter, MWC Connection. We will give out, I'll say this now, I'll be more specific, but if you follow us or retweet us, that could lead to extra entries, perhaps. I think that's fair. You've seen that a lot, like the little, hey, if you like us on Facebook, extra this, so look for that stuff, and hopefully this redeemed my last 10 minutes of screwing up so bad. Tell your Hawaii friends as well, but we'll give away those tickets. We'll do it a couple days before, so it is in Hawaii again, so if you're out there, Hawaii fans, we'll give you a couple days. We'll email you or contact you a couple days ahead of time so we can figure all the logistics out. But yeah, we have a chance to give away some tickets, so hope if you listen to this far, you're one step ahead of everybody, and Yeah, that's the show for tonight. We'll be back next week for another set of games for week 10. And as always, we're